Now, come with me as we head away from the coast and down these stairs to the basement of a university building in Brisbane and to their swimming pool.
So these robots here, I'll just move one at a time, sorry. You can see they've got solar panels on, so we can use them to stay out there for months at a time. They can collect different types of information, which I'll discuss in a moment. So here
the guy speaking is Dr. Matthew Dunbabin, a principal research fellow, autonomous systems, in the science and engineering faculty at QUT, the Queensland University of Technology. And we're here at the university for Robotronica, an annual open day dedicated to robotics research. Dr. Dunbabin is busy demonstrating his new floating eco-bots.
Surface vehicles. Earth's oceans cover about 70% of the planet, but we only know about 5% of what's going on. So these type of robots are really important for discovery and also all sorts of cleanup operations and stuff that you want to do.
Now the eco-bots or aquabots are actually called inference robotic boats. And as Dr. Dunbabin explains, they've been designed to make the environmental monitoring of our major waterways not only far more accurate, but far more consistent. Matthew Dunbabin.
So these are yellow boats. They're about 1.5 by 1.5 metres, very streamlike, sort of like a solar car. They've got solar panels on board and a camera system on top. That's probably the most distinguishable feature of these. And they're quite low to the water. And this is deliberate because we want to create a robot that can obviously self-sustain its power. So we've got solar panels angled very close to what we need in Australia. And very low what we call windage, because we don't want to burn power trying to fight wind and stuff. Because these boats are designed to be on the waterways for months at a time.
So traditionally, the way we monitor the environment and we look for changes in the environment is that we send out researchers, we send out teams, or we send out robots. These are designed, though, aren't they, to do ongoing monitoring. They'll be on all the time.
Absolutely, and there's a big problem in the research community around what we call persistence. Yes, I can deploy a robot and I can get data for maybe half an hour, but having them stay out for months at a time, that's a totally different thing. And it's vital because at the moment we have things called fair weather bias. Now, what that means is researchers can't go out when there's a cyclone, it's raining, it's dark, for example. Robots don't care, they do the dirty, dull, dangerous. And this is vital because a lot of things happen during these events. If it's a cyclone, that's when you've got your most disturbance. You need to know how much mud's coming down that waterway or water, or if, for example, there's an oil spill or something. You want a rapid response. You need to be there. And the seas might not be very conducive to actually being out there for that long.
Now, they're streamlined, but they're actually quite complicated little bots, aren't they? What sort of data are they able to gather?
So we designed these very specifically because each researcher tends to have their own little thing. And what we've done is we made what we call the payload bay. And this is a standard connection with 6 bolts, and we can bolt nearly any type of sensor on. So what we've already got is a greenhouse gas monitoring system for measuring greenhouse gases coming from our waterways. We actually have a water sample that can collect 20 water samples at a time and bring them back to a certain spot. We can measure the bathymetry or the sea bottom profile and all sorts of things. So it's more up to the imagination of the researchers what they want to put on. They might have a very, very specific thing. They want to detect oil spills, for example, and they can put that sensor on, no problem, just plug and play.
And the benefit of these robots is that the data that they are providing can be real time if you want it to be.
Absolutely. And that's one of the things that is missing around the world is real time data collection for scientists. And we've designed these so they're online, so we can actually get the live feedback. As long as we've got an internet connection or a satellite connection, we can actually communicate with these and get the data back.
Environmental monitoring is a bit of a growth area, isn't it, at the moment for robotics?
Absolutely. The number of robots, particularly aerial robots, is astronomical at the moment. There's a lot of regulatory thing around aerial robots and what they can do, but for marine, this is a very rapidly growing space. If, for example, most people don't realise that at any one time there's nearly 4,000 of these profiling robots in our oceans, and we're providing very simple data. They just go up and down the water column, but they provide data that feeds our weather models and that type of thing. That's vital to have. But now they're finding even more things. So like if we need to do compliance monitoring for mines, for example, make sure they're not polluting the environment, or checking for blue-green algae in our waterways, you know, things that might have good public health aspects to them, these robots are finding their way into those applications.
Now, we're here at the QUT swimming pool, for a demonstration of these robots for the public as part of Robotronica. But you're actually just about to launch these in a dam, I understand, on the Gold Coast for a bit of a test of the durability, I guess, over time.
Absolutely. There's two big tests that we're doing. One is that durability test. We've already had them out for a couple of weeks at a time, but now we're looking for 3 months at a time and 6 months eventually. The other one is the whole remote access thing. As I mentioned, people around the world don't have access to data real time. And we want to provide our researchers that do like sampling type algorithms and trying to understand the processes access to real data, not simulated data, which they used to. So we're actually going to give them an opportunity where we'll give them a username and password, and they can actually log in and control these robots for up to a week at a time to test their algorithms. And this benefits the whole science community, not just, you know, us here doing our research, but the wider community and also the authorities and that, because they're getting access to this data.
So robotics, but this is also an example in that sense then of open science.
Absolutely, and I'm all for that. Like, I know what I'm good at in terms of my robotics and things like that, but there's some smart people all around the world that might have a bit of a different idea, but they just need that facility to actually test. And if they make, I'm opening this system up to the people, as long as they open up their algorithms to the rest of the world, I think that's a fair trade.
Well, Matt Dunbabin, thank you very much for joining us on Future Tense and for showing us your inference boats, your aquabots.
My pleasure. Thank you.